We thank God for another opportunity to give him praise, give God praise, and
Amen.
To worship him, because without him, we can do nothing. I mean, without the Lord, we can do nothing. And so I praise God. I give God all the glory for keeping all of us up to this, watching over us and taking care of us and everything that we go through. And so it's a good thing to be here. And God bless you, Brother Jarrell. So good to have you on with us. God bless you so well. And Mom and Minister Charles and Deacon Stephanie and all of our Facebook family, we just welcome you into the presence of the Lord. I see our Sister Diane is on Facebook, and we've got so many others who have joined us on Facebook. I welcome you in the name of Jesus. So good to have you on with us. Amen. I can't even try to read all these comments on Facebook. But we welcome you. We thank God for each and every one of you who have joined us on Facebook. Thank God for the love that's coming through here. We had an awesome time this week on our Deliverance Jesus Coming first virtual convention. Oh, my God. We had an awesome time. It was powerful. I mean, it was powerful. And we got blessed so well with the worship, with the praise. We had Pastor Heron, who hosted the MC from Colorado. At the same time, we had Bishop Brashaw, who was in Newark, New Jersey. We had saints that were in Florida, saints that was in Texas, saints, people that was in California. We had people from the Ukraine, people from India on Facebook joining us in our workshops. We had people from all over, from New Jersey, from Teaneck, Westwood, come on, South Jersey, from Trenton area. I mean, just all over, just joining us, from Detroit, Chicago. I mean, we just got blessed with so many people who joined us. And this is how the gospel is going to be ministered throughout the world. Jesus says, I want you to take my word, and I want you to preach it throughout the nations. And this is how it's going to be preached. I don't have money and ticket enough to go to the Ukraine and go to India and sit there. And I don't have it. But guess what? God makes a way. And I believe that with this coronavirus, God is making a way for us to get up off our laurels and move on out and minister to people who are in need. Listen, church, this is a time to minister to those who are in need. The word ministry means serve. It's all about serving and ministering to those who are in need right now. And so we thank God for all that was done. I'm going to talk in just a moment about, in my message, I'm going to minister on God's presence will sustain you. But there are some things that took place at the convention that Minister Overseer Vanessa ministered and Bishop Ben ministered. Powerful words for right now, for today. And so I thank God for this opportunity to minister the word, to minister the gospel. And I pray that you will be blessed as the word of God goes forth in Jesus' name. Let's just pray. Father, in your blessed name, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this afternoon as we have entered into, oh God, this day of blessing. And we ask you, God, that you will just go before us, God. Teach us, minister to us. God, give us your words, oh God. Give me your words, oh God. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary that you may be glorified. Father, touch the souls of men, those who are seeking you, seeking hope, seeking life, seeking restoration, seeking deliverance, Father. Help those who are sick and dying. Help those who are away, oh God, or incarcerated, oh God, in the midst of the virus, oh God, don't have the shelter, don't have the safety that most of us have. But Lord God, we ask you to look upon them right now. God, we pray that you will comfort them with your word and comfort them with your spirit as we minister your word today. Bless each and every one of us as we hear your word and as we do your word, oh God, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. 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 I would like for you, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We're going to be moving around in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 5, and then we're going to go to verse 7 through 10 and 16 through 18. in that order. Verse 5, verse 2nd, 7 through 10, and verse 16 through 18. Amen. Mm-hmm. Give you a moment to get your word. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." The scripture says, we preach not ourselves. We're not preaching ourselves. When I get up here, I'm not preaching me. This is not about me. This is not about what I have to say. This is all about what God has to say. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant. I'm preaching only what Jesus has given me. And in the process, I'm just God's servant. I'm only a servant, only gives what he has received. Many times in our preaching, we have preached a gospel that is not Jesus. We have preached my denomination. We have preached, oh, in my denomination, we believe in this, and you got to do this, and you got to wear this, and you can't come to my church if you don't have this. No. Apostle Paul, he says, I'm not preaching me. It's not about me. It's not about my denomination. It's not about my ministry. It's not about what I believe. It's about what Christ preaches and teaches in his word. And so Paul opens up and says, I'm not preaching myself. I'm preaching Christ. Then he says in verse 7, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure, this treasure, something that is of value in us. And I know through this virus right now, we don't feel that we all have a treasure. Come on, let's be for real. When we wake up in the morning, we just check our breath. Am I breathing okay? Okay, let me check it. Every once in a while, check it. Let me check, put the thermometer in my mouth. Is it okay? Yes, okay. Let me check. Am I smelling? Oh, wow. Okay, come on. I'm just like you. And we feel that, is everything okay? Because our surroundings is dictating and trying to get in on the inside of us, and trying to get us in fear, and trying to get us with anxiety, and get us thinking, oh, am I going to die tomorrow? What's going to happen? I just heard my sister was telling me a young man just died. Young man, teenager. He didn't die of the virus. He just didn't wake up. Young man. Now, everybody's wondering, is there something else out there? It could be. But if we wonder about everything that's around us, we'll never live. We'll die of anxiety. We'll die of heart attack. Listen, I've heard of so many young people today. Listen, I heard it on the news, heard it through the family, heard it through the grapevine. So many people are dying with heart attacks. They're stressing out because of the virus, wondering if they got it. Yes, some people have the virus and it caused their system to shut down. I understand that. But some people just dying without the virus, they stress it out. Paul says in his letter, he says, we have this we the believers, the Christians, the people of God, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Sometimes you can't see it because guess what? It's hidden because of circumstances. It's hidden because of maybe your lifestyle. Your lifestyle says that, oh, man, I've been running around and not doing what God wants me to do. And I don't feel worthy. That doesn't void out the fact that Christ is still in you. Listen, I don't care who you are. Once you accept Jesus Christ and he's on the inside of you, the devil, the enemy's job is to keep distracting the inside of you by putting things around you to make you feel not worthy, to make you feel condemned, to make you feel like you awful, you old dirty sinner. You're not saved. When you come to Christ, you are a new creature. That earthen vessel, that treasure that's inside of you is still there. The scripture says we have this treasure in earthen vessel, treasure value, not garbage. Yes, sometimes we get garbage in there. You got a good plate, you ready to eat, Brother Jarrell. You know you're a chef, man. You can throw it now. If you're ready to eat, and we ready to eat something nice, and all of a sudden a fly get on there. Oh, come on, fly. You ain't getting on my plate. You ain't getting on my dish. You got to void it out. You got to maintain it. So what we do, we cover it. See? We cover that dish, or we aluminum foil it, or plastic, or we put it in the refrigerator somewhere. So guess what? It's preserved. This earthen vessel has to be preserved, or else something is going to pollute it. Something is going to get on the inside. Something is going to get on it and around it is going to cause this for you to say, you know what? You got to throw this out. But it's still good. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. Take a little something, get on top of your food. Take a fork or spoon and dip it out. Don't throw out the whole thing now. And sometimes the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It says that the excellency of the power of God, the power of God, the power may be of God and not of us. See, that earthen vessel has the excellency, wants the excellency of the power of God to maintain it. And many times, the excellency of the power of God is being denied because we're condemned, or we're beat down, or we feel that I'm not worthy of this, and because I messed up, I don't feel like I deserve this. Listen, let me say this. The Apostle Paul says, I am the chief of all sinners. But yet, he wrote most of the New Testament epistles. He says, I'm the chief. He went around killing Christians, murdering them, causing contracts to take them out like the mafia. He says, I'm the chief of sin. And when he came to Christ, many Christians said, I don't want him in my church. That man, he went around. No, he just disguised it. But they didn't realize that he really had a true conversion with the Lord. He said, I'm the chief of all sinners. It's not about what you have done. It's about what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. So the scripture says, but we have this treasure. Listen, this treasure, this value. Something that the enemy has been trying to take for a long time in this earth, in this body. When we die, this body's going back to the earth. We try to preserve it. Teeth fall out. We get new teeth. Come on. We get implants. And hair fall out. We get new hair. We get weaves. We go to just for men, or we go whatever, and we fix up. Come on, there's nothing wrong with that. Eyebrows fall out, and guess what? We get the little pencil, and we put some new eyebrows up. That's right. People get in car accidents. People get burned up. They go and get surgery. They get new face, new hands. Come on. That's all right. But this body's going to die one day. It's going to go back to the earth. But when it goes back to the earth, and if you're a believer, when you die, guess what? God comes back. You're going back with him. When you die, the Bible says to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. When we die and absent from everyone else, all of our loved ones, they're absent. They're not here. My mother, my father, some of my friends and family members and Bishop Everett, all of them that died, grandma, grandpa. Guess what? They're with the Lord. We're going to see them again. Don't worry about it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may not be of us, may not be of us. But verse 8 says, but we are troubled. Listen, I'm making this real right now. Paul makes it real. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Listen, we are troubled. The virus comes in March. February. Probably was here in January. Probably was here in December. But this virus comes in. People are dying by the... Listen, millions of people have died already. Millions. And everybody's like, ooh, where should I go? What should I touch? What should I eat? But yet, at the same time, we all of a sudden get this racial injustice that's surfacing. It didn't just happen. It's now surfacing. And people all over the world, they're saying, we got to get justice now. Black man been beat down for so long, it's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to take a stand. It's time for us to move forward. It's time for us not to take the back seat, but the front seat. It's time for us to be the head and not the tail. Come on. And the message is all over the world right now. And it's causing chaos in the sense of in the political world, in the social world, in the family, in the domestic world, in the communities. And some people have taken it the wrong way and have created fires and destroyed things. We are in a pandemic, yet we are in a time where God is causing all this stuff to surface. And I believe, listen, I believe this, and I'm going to get right back to the word. I believe this stuff is servicing not for the church to sit back and say, ooh, we just got to pray. Yes, you pray, but action. Not just pray, action. On your job, listen, on your jobs, yes, they've been intimidating you. And you've been taking it. You've been saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. Oh, okay, yes, yes, sir. I'm not saying don't say yes, sir. But I'm saying now, it's time for you to take a stand. It's time for you to stop taking the back seat and not speaking up. When whites come on, just being for real, just straight up. When whites, who not every white, certain whites who think they're privileged, and you are in the back seat, and you got to be quiet. No, you speak up in that meeting. You stand up on that job. You go to that interview. You go in that store, and someone is following. Excuse me, why are you following? I used to work store security, and this white guy years ago, he was following me in the store. I said, you still working for so-and-so? He's like, how do you know? I said, because I used to work for him, too. I said, stop following me. I know you work in store security. Before I give him a call and have you fired. He's like, oh, wow. Then he stopped following me. Now, you got to speak up. This protocol, and our young people, listen, young people, follow the protocol. Please pull you over. Don't get nasty. Don't do that. They look for opportunity to fight you, to beat you up, cut the camera off, or leave the camera somewhere else and say, you did this. Don't do that. Just follow the protocol. Don't say nothing. If they arrest you and they take you somewhere, don't say nothing to them until you call the parent. I don't care if they say, we're going to put you in prison. Right now, we're taking you to Rikers. We're taking you down to wherever. Don't say nothing until you call your parents. If you're under 18, call your parents. If you're 18, call your lawyer first. Don't make any confessions. Don't say anything to them. I need to speak to my lawyer. If you don't have a lawyer, a public defender first. Because that public defender is going to connect you, give you enough time to call your family, to connect you with a lawyer if you have the money to do that. We got it. It's time for us to take a stand. Apostle Paul says, we are troubled. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're troubled right now on every side. Finances. Some of you are receiving the $600 of unemployment every Monday, and you've been getting that check in your bank account or by mail. Come the end of July, that check is not going to be there. Lord, how are we going to make it? That troubled on every side. Mortgage company, listen, they don't care. My mortgage company said to me, we're here to help you. Then they sent me the information. They said, oh, okay, so after 3 months, you don't have to pay up for 3 months, but after 3 months, you need all the money from the 3 months in August the 1st. I'm like, that don't make sense. If I'm not working and you're giving me an opportunity, see, playing this game, to have my mortgage suspended for 3 months. And then all of a sudden, the 3 months come to a close and I got to have all the money. I'm not working. So by default, guess what happens? They come and start to harass me and say, look, we're going to take your house if you don't have this money. See, the games people play. And if you think, oh, they just give you an opportunity. No, they're not. They just want to rob you. So we got to speak up. We got to see the enemy from far off. This is not a white thing or black thing. This is the enemy. This is Satan trying to get us. Paul says we are troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. Because stress brings about anxiety. Stress brings about headaches. Stress brings about fear. Stress brings about high blood pressure and sugar diabetes and back pains. And one doctor said that he stopped. Listen, one doctor, he was a surgeon. He said, "I quit my practice with surgery." He was an orthopedic, Pastor Angie, orthopedic surgeon. He said, "I quit my practice." He said, "You know why I quit my practice and picked up another career?" So I picked up the career of counseling people and bringing them to the knowledge that their back pain is really not the back pain. But she said, I think it was 80% of the people who had this back pain really didn't have a back problem. It was their stress and anxiety in their mind. That causes biological, physiological problems in their system. They said, I quit that, and I went now into counseling. Better job, better opportunities. The stress brings us into a place of turmoil. Paul says, because this earthen vessel, we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Yes, everything is going on around us, but we're perplexed. Well, I don't understand this. And why is this one dying? My cousin, my brother, my sister, this one dying. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Despair is like you riding down the street, and you're on the highway, you're on vacation, you're going somewhere, now we're having a good time, and you all of a sudden get a flat. Despair is when you get that flat, you don't have a spare tire. That's despair. Despair is you're doing something or you're going somewhere and something breaks and you can't fix it. We're not despair. Because the Bible tells us that the Lord works all things out for good to them that love him, that are called according to his purpose. We are, the Bible says that we are going through what we're going through, but we're not in despair. We're perplexed in our mind, perplexed in our thought, perplexed if I should go this way, but we're not in despair because we know that God, he makes a way out of no way. We know that God is the keeper. He said, I will never see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. He said, I will be with you till the end. I'll make you the head and not the tail. You may think you're the tail. You may think you below. You may think you lost, but God says, you're not in despair. God always has a spare tire. God blessed us, me and Pastor Angie, and God says, I want you to bless this certain individual. I'm not talking about the individual, I'm talking about how God works. I said, okay, Lord. And a couple of individuals, we just blessed them. And they call us back. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Thank you. Just thank you. You may be perplexed, but God will always have somebody, something waiting for you to lift you up out of your perplexity, no matter what it is. When I was going, me and my wife was going through, make a long story short, Elijah, I think he was my son, he wasn't even one, he was a couple of months old. No money, just broke. New baby. No money, just Lord, how are we gonna make it? Tired of my mother and my mother and my mother-in-law and father-in-law coming and bringing a little few dollars here and a plate there. Just tired of it. Because I said, Lord, I need to get on my feet. We were thankful. We didn't turn our nose up to nobody. We were thankful. But one Saturday morning, the mail comes through. That check that comes, I forget what you call that check. You get the rapid refund. Remember the rapid refund? We had got our rapid refund, federal government check, way back in, I think it was probably way back in April, because we needed that money back then. And I'm like, that money's gone, Lord. We got something that looked like a check from the IRS. And this was like July, August. I'm like, oh my God. It must have had the wrong name on there. Open that check. How much was it? About
$900.
I said, fear gripped my heart. I said, I'm not going to jail. I just got a brand new baby. This check, they must have really made a mistake. I'm not going to jail. Let me wait and call them on Monday. This was a Saturday morning. Pastor Angie looked at me, this call, be quiet. You don't go cash that check, and whatever happens, it's gonna happen. The baby crying back on me. And I'm like, oh Lord, okay, let's go. Went down to ShopRite. ShopRite, we had the little card, and they cashed. The banks were already closed, but ShopRite, they'll take the check, and you can cash that right there and shop. Man, we ate some food that day. Ooh, boy, we ate so much. And, you know, they always say, never go to the ShopRite hungry. We brought up all the junk food. Let me tell you, God always provides. Called the IRS that Monday. I asked them, what was this check about? They said, this was a check that we owed you. You overpaid us back 6 years, 10 years ago. Money that was stored up.
Wow.
IRS said, this was money that we, with interest, that was owed to you because you had overpaid us. Some of you've overpaid in your service. You've overpaid in your love. You've overpaid in your commitment. You've overpaid in giving to people and blessing people. You overpaid in helping people, and they didn't deserve it. And you've gone out to where you've overpaid and extending yourself.
Uh-huh.
One day you're going to get that check of opportunity. You're going to get that check of blessing, and it's going to come through, and it's going to all of a sudden say, you know what? You overpaid, and now it's time for us to pay you.
Amen. Amen.
That's the way God works. He's storing things up. And he's looking for opportunities to bless you. And it may not come on time when you think, but it's always right on time. Let me get rid of clothes. Oh, my God. Persecuted. Verse 9, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We heard the message through George. What's the brother named George who died? George Floyd. We've heard the message about the knee on my neck. And I was ministering that way before the funeral was that many of us have a knee on our neck and we can't get up. A knee on our jobs and a knee on our resume and a knee on our on our finances. And the rest of the time, the knee can't do nothing. There is no knee. God says, I'm going to break the knee. I'm going to bend the knee. I'm going to bless my people. It's our time, church. It's our time, people. Bless the Lord, to walk in the blessings of the Lord. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not. Listen, coming to a close. For which cause, knowing that God will be with us, knowing that he will strengthen us, knowing in our mind, in our spirit, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, that the inward man is renewed. The inward man, my God, the inward man is renewed. The inward man, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed. What? Day by day. I love what Overseer Vanessa, she ministered, and she ministered at the convention, and she said, the content of the inside is more important than the packaging. Say that again. The content of the inside is more important than the packaging. I'm going to send you a check in the mail of $1 million.
Jesus.
Put it in this huge, pretty box. Jesus. This box is all decorated. I put a little perfume or a cologne on it. Makes it smell nice. And when you get it and just open it up, there's a check in there for $1 million. Get the box, cut that thing open and bring it open. I don't want to see the packaging. I only want to see the envelope. Let me see that check. The other side of it, let me make sure it's real. Let me cash that check.
Mm-hmm.
The packaging is nice, but it's what's on the inside. We got many celebrities. We got many people. They put on this face. They put on this image. And I've met many of them. I met one celebrity in the motor vehicle, in the motor vehicle station.
Mm-hmm.
Standing right in front of me from here to three, not even 3 feet. And I didn't go on like this. Hey, hey. I just looked out like this face. Hello. You know, like, hello. You know, our brothers, you know, like, what's up? He looked at me like this and rolled his eyes and looked the other way. I know he didn't do that. Oh, I felt like, you know, yeah, the flesh rose up, wanted to snatch him up, brother. Who you think you are? That's because you this, and I see you on TV, you think you all that. I was this close to embarrassing that brother right there in motor vehicle. I didn't care. No. The Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit put my brakes on. I mean, it was some emergency brakes. Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. Let me deal with it.
Yeah.
Shortly after, he had an accident.
Yep.
And I said, do they understand? You can't walk around with this big head thinking that you can, because you die just like everybody else. You get sick like everybody else.
Yep.
Okay. And so I'm not. The Scripture says that for which cause we faith not. This inward man got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make sure my inward man is right, or else guess what's going to happen? I'm going to go off on somebody. We got to take care of this inward man. So the packaging on the inside is more important. And then he said something in his message. He says, ministry will change, but the church remains
the same. Yep. That's what he said.
Ministry is going to change. People are going to leave the church.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the church. Pastor's going to mess up. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to say the wrong thing. And people are going to fight against each other. Somebody's going to do this. The church may burn down. The church may do this. And people may die in the church, and this one may die. Jesus. But guess what?
Jesus,
the church remains the same. It's not going to change. That's right. And so we think our outward man is perished, but the inward man is renewed day by day.
Thank you.
For our light afflictions, listen to this in verse 17. Our light afflictions, which is for a moment. This virus, this racial injustice. I know it's been going on a long time, but this is just for a moment.
Yeah.
It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is just a little something right now.
Yep.
It's gonna change.
Yep.
Minds are going to change.
Yep.
Minister Charles used to always say when we were teenagers, he's always say the tide is gonna change.
Yeah.
Go to the beach, and sometimes you have a low tide. And everybody's down at the foot. They all at the water, putting their foot in the water. And you lay down, and you got your foot just in the water. Mm-hmm. At about 5 o'clock, 4:30, 6 o'clock, all of a sudden that water starts coming up near your ankles, up near your knees, and it starts coming up near your waist. Next thing you feel is big splash. The tide is going to change.
Yep.
You're not going to always be at the foot. You're not going to always be at the bottom.
That's right.
Talking to somebody. You're not going to always be like, I got to go and get help. I got to go and get food. I got to go and get help. It's not going to always be like that.
Jesus.
I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Jesus.
I didn't grow up having everything convenient for me. I didn't grow up having brand new sneakers and $500 this and $500. What?
Yep.
I didn't see $500 until I started working. 18, 19 years old, I start working. I saw $500.
Yep.
I can put in my hand that I work for. But guess what? It's not going to always be that way.
Yep.
God's going to open opportunities that you have never seen before. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, and finally in verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look not, in other words, take your focus off the things which are around you right now. Take your focus off. Don't look at those things. Yes, be conscious. Yes, be aware. Yes, do what you have to do in that surrounding. But let not that be the image, the thing that succumbs you, that takes control over you. that dictates your movement, that dictates your love. That dictates, listen, there's a lot of hate, but I love my white brothers. Mm-hmm. I love my white sisters. I love everybody. I love my Asians. Mm-hmm. I love my Japanese. I love everybody.
Yes.
I'm not going to let, because of hatred of the devil that got in people over year after year, stop me from loving people.
That's right.
I'm not going to let the devil do that. Right. I'm going to still love them, but I'm going to still tell them the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love.
Speak the truth in love. That's right.
Speak the truth in love.
Yep.
I'm still love. I'm not going to let nobody dictate me. My enemies hate me. I'm not going to let the enemies just dictate how I should walk and how I should come. Jesus. I should walk down that street or not. I'm going to hold my head up.
Jesus.
I'm going to hold my head up. They hate me. They don't like me. I'm going to hold my head up anyway. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, don't look at the things which are seen. Things which are seen, they're just temporary. Just temporary. My cousin told me, I was talking to my cousin from down in Georgia where my family grew up this week. And she was telling me the racism that we experienced up here in the North is much different than the racism that they've experienced down South.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have experienced deep racism in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Not no subtle racism that we see up here. Hi, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Yes, oh, everything is fine, done. Cut to the back. No. Down there, they tell you, right? You know what? I don't like you. They'll spit right in front of you. Right there in front of you. Those are the ones you just stay away from.
Mm.
If they don't like you, you just move away. She says, we've experienced racism like you've never seen down south. She said, this white lady that she worked for was deep set racist, hateful, mean. Evil.
Mm.
But shoot a black man without thinking about it, would spit on a black man without even no conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Work with this lady. She said, but when this lady got older, there's something about when God allows you to get older. This lady got older, and all of a sudden, lady retired, went to senior care facility. And one day saw my cousin in there say, hi, bud. Just so-and-so, oh, come here, please, come here. Would you come and see me every day, please? If you would come, just visit me just every day, please. I appreciate it. This lady was broken. Mm-hmm. This lady was humble. Why? Because now she ain't got her high horse to sit on no more.
Mm-hmm.
She got to wait on black folk in the senior care facility to feed her, to change her diaper. To give her medicine for her survival.
Mm-hmm.
God humbled that white lady.
Yes,
and so I said that to say this, the tide always changes.
That's right.
We may think that they're getting away with this, but no, they're not getting away with nothing. God has a way of catching up with evil.
Yes, he has
God has a way of judging those who have done you wrong, who have stole from you, who have lied upon you. The Bible says, don't look at these things that is around you. Those are temporary.
Jesus.
But the Bible says in closing, it says, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot see God right now, but guess what? He's eternal. We cannot see the hope and glory, but guess what? It's happening. It's going to happen. It's eternal. It's already in the plans. It's already in the cards. God is going to bless you. Just stay strong in the Lord. In the power of God's might. God's presence is going to sustain you. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Church, I'm closing. This week, I'm praying that every one of you will experience the ever presence of God.
Amen.
The presence of God. In the midst of your fear, in the midst of your faults, in the midst of your trying times, in the midst of your surroundings, that God's presence will be with you. And let me say this, because it's not just a magic word. It's not just what pastors say. You got to allow that presence to happen.
Mm-hmm.
How you allow that presence to happen, you got to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wake up in the morning. You got to put in your mindset. We have a word that is in today's youth, in today's vocabulary. It's called intentional. You got to intentionally prepare God's presence when you wake up in the morning. You got to intentionally say, I'm going to worship God. You got to intentionally say, I'm going to give God the glory. You got to intentionally say, I'm going to allow God's presence through reading his word, through meditating on God's word, to be in my life. And so this week, intentionally, get with God. Get with God in your prayer time. Get with God in the morning. Get with God in your breakfast. Get with God in your lunch. Get with God in your dinner time. Get with God. Allow his presence to just succumb you through everything that's going on. Just allow God's presence. The scripture says, in God's presence is fullness of joy. Many people today, Christians and non-Christians alike, don't have joy because guess what? They're not allowing God's presence.
That's right.
Get God's presence, church, and he will make your life brand new. Let's just pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for your precious blood. We thank you for all that you have done, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence, oh God, for your ever presence, God. We love you, Lord God. We love you, oh God, for what you're going to do. We pray, oh God, that you will touch each and every soul, oh God, that heard this message, that heard this word, oh God, that they will get in your presence, oh God. That they will release, oh God, themselves, oh God, and hide behind the cross, and hide behind your love, and hide behind your salvation, and surrender themselves to you.
Mm.
Father, we submit ourselves. We submit ourselves. We submit our minds. We submit our soul. We submit our thoughts.
Jesus.
Not our will, oh God.
Jesus.
Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Oh God, work in our life, oh God. Work in our mind. Work in our soul, oh God. Work in our thoughts, oh God. We need you, oh God, to help us, even through this crisis, oh God. Give us the wisdom. Give us the knowledge, oh God. Give us what we need, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to walk through everything that is before us. Lord God, we need you right now. Lord, make a way out of no way, God. Those who are distressed, those who are perplexed, oh God. You said, oh God, that if we keep our minds stayed on you, you said you would keep us. And Lord God, we just rely on you to keep us. Keep us in your love. Keep us in your presence, oh God. And we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise. And we'll honor you, oh God. You alone are worthy. You alone are above all things. And we praise and bless your name in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All is well, church. All is well. All is well.
Amen. Amen.
God for his presence. I love this song by Michael W. Smith. It's a Christmas song. But guess what? It's a song that speaks of the reality that God is with us and he will never leave us.
All is well.
All is well.
All is well. Angels and men rejoice.
All is well.
For tonight, darkness fell into the dawn of love's light.
Wow, God's light.
Sing
hallelujah. Somebody's going through something. All is well. All is well, somebody. You're going through, but all is well. You don't see how you're going to make it through, but all is well. Somebody out there that don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to just say, Jesus, come into my life. I need everything to be well in my life. I'm surrendering to you, Lord God. Save and deliver me. Set me free, oh God. Let all be well in my life. And I'll give you the praise and I'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for saving that individual. Thank you, Lord, for them committing their lives to you, oh God. We give you the praise and we give you the glory, oh God.